May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This evening we consider all three texts as part of our meditation. You may be seated. Give us this daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray in the Lord's Prayer. But what is daily bread? It includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. And God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. We pray that God would lead us to realize this and to give us, and that we would receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Thus, for everyone who prays the Lord's Prayer daily, each day is a day of thanksgiving. All that we have, all that we need, comes from God. God richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. And all this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. I quote the Catechism this evening for two reasons. First, these words of Luther are certainly a most appropriate way to think about a national day of thanksgiving. But secondly, to remind you that Luther's small catechism is something you can read and reflect on daily. Its words ground us in God's word and a right understanding of that word in a way that is eminently practical and applicable to each day. For we daily sin much, and we daily forget whose we are. We daily forget that we are chosen people set apart in baptism. We have a tendency to turn into ourselves, to trust ourselves for what we need. But remember, if you work, your ability to work comes from God. If you are self-reliant, growing your own food, fixing your own equipment, those skills are a gift from God. If you're a very hard worker, a self-made man or woman, as it were, that drive and determination is a gift from God. If you rely on others to take care of you, those people are a gift from God. If you take care of others, those people are gifts from God. And what should our response be to the one who gives us everything to support this body and life? Thanks and praise. Thanks and praise. And the use of God's gifts to help others. Unfortunately, our thankfulness isn't always what it should be, of course. One might assume that those with much, those who have been given much of the things of this world, would be the most thankful people of all. Sadly, we know that's typically not the case. Our country is one of the, if not the most prosperous nation on earth. Yet how many will go into the house of the Lord today or tomorrow or any given Sunday to give thanks to him from whom everything comes? But this shouldn't really surprise us for a couple reasons. First, we see this exact scenario played out in our gospel lesson. If you want to talk about a rags-to-riches story, consider these 10 lepers that Jesus happens upon. 10 people who had nothing, less than nothing. They were outcasts, consigned to wander about begging, but only in certain places. No human contact. And then their lives are completely transformed, turned upside down. They are healed, cleansed, no more leprosy, and there could be no doubt where this blessing came from. There was no doubt that it was Jesus of Nazareth standing right there in front of them that had given them their entire lives back. Yet, only one returns to give thanks. Only one of ten. The second reason that we should be surprised that we who have so much are often thankless is, well, we know our own hearts. At least if we're honest, we do. We think we should receive credit for what we have done. By our own hard work, by our own wisdom, we are where we are. Lest we forget the words of God in our Old Testament reading, man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We must not forget this. Thankfulness springs from remembering who the giver is, from worshiping the giver of all things. But what about when times are difficult? What about those times when we feel abandoned by the Lord? What if it seems like our daily bread just isn't sufficient? It's just not cutting it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We are to be thankful, even when in want, even when the world looks bleak, even when chaos and foolishness seem to be all around us. We are to be thankful for God's care and his provision. May we be like St. Paul, who reminds us, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The fortunes of this life rise and fall. We have plenty at some times, and then other times we are in want. We are sick sometimes and healthy other times. We have good times and bad times. We have people in our lives that bring us up and others that bring us down. Life is something of a roller coaster, I suppose. But if that was all there was, if this life is all there is, if being thankful simply means gratefulness for the material things that we have been given, that we are blessed with, then we are indeed to be pitied. For man does not live on bread alone. We are more than the sum of our life's experiences. We have souls. There is an afterlife awaiting each one of us. And this brings us to those things for which we should be most thankful. Those things that even the most thankful unbeliever is missing out on. Those things that, unlike the things of this world, are always constant, always there for us, namely the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation of our souls, eternal life. For it wasn't enough for God to give us the things that we need to support this body and life. We needed God to give us the things to support the next body and life. We needed God to come into our world in the person of Jesus, to live the sinless life that we are unable to live, to sacrifice himself on the cross to pay for sin, to rise again, the first fruits of the dead. We needed God to baptize us into that death and resurrection to connect us to Jesus. These are the things for which we should be most thankful for. These are the things for which there could be no doubt from whom they came. These are the things that no matter how hard we work, no matter how smart we are, no matter what family we were born into, we can never obtain for ourselves, for we have been healed. The leprosy of our sin has been cleansed. God has done it. God has redeemed you, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and delivered you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. He forgives daily and richly all of your sins, and those of all believers, and at the last day will raise you up and all the dead, and give to you and all believers in Christ everlasting life. This is most certainly true. For us Christians, thankfulness for daily bread springs from God, who has already given us and continues to give us heavenly food. If God has done this hard work for us, this impossible work for us, saving our bodies and souls from eternal death, surely he will give us all things necessary to support this body and life. God does indeed give us daily bread, those things that we need, and far more abundantly than that. He also gives us the heavenly bread of his word, his body and blood, and the sacrament which he will receive. He gives us all we need to enter the life to come. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.